If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. Of course, this morning, our final Sunday of 2024 that we get to gather and worship the Lord. And I wanted to take this particular Sunday and impress on us the need, because again, from about October really until about this Wednesday, things get busy, they get hectic, they get I saw somebody, they made the observation that time ceases to exist between Christmas and New Year's. What day is it? What time is it? What do I have to do today? And, you know, really it's just kind of that lull before Thursday. Everything kind of kicks back in the gear and gets back to normal, so to speak. And with that, with a new year coming, and especially with the holidays, it can be easy to just kind of let some things slip, let some things kind of fall to the background and fall to the wayside, especially, unfortunately, when it comes to that of the things of God and the things of the church. And so this morning, I want us to be challenged to find ourselves coming home in 2025 and getting back into really a swing of things here and returning where we need to return. Luke chapter 15, and notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 11, down through verse number 24. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse number 11, down through verse number 24. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry." You notice that phrase there, in verse number 20. "And he arose, and came to his father." But then you notice that phrase there, "but when he was a great way off." For a few moments tomorrow, I'd like to preach us on this thought with this challenge for a new year. where grace meets the prodigal. Where grace meets the prodigal. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Father, this morning we thank you for another opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word. And Father, this morning I pray that everything that is said and done would be done to your honor, your glory. Pray, Lord, you'd quiet hearts and help us, Lord, to focus our minds on you. Get us away from the busyness and hecticness and the chaos of the week. And Lord, help us to just hone in on what you'd have for us this morning. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I preach be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. Help me to say that which needs to be said and refrain from that which needs not be said. And Father, this morning I pray if there be one here this morning, they know not Christ as their Savior. They're lost. We pray this morning, Lord, they'd be found. And Lord, for the Christian this morning, that they're here, but they're also lost spiritually. Lord, maybe they've fallen some point this year. Lord, may they be able to find their way back to you this morning. And the Lord, may we all seek to serve you and be ready to serve you with our whole hearts in the new year to come. And Lord, now for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. One of the benefits of this program that I now have on our computer for the music and the hymns is that it's helping me to rediscover a lot of older hymns that I've either forgotten or we haven't sung in a while. And one such hymn is the one we sung just before the message this morning. That's "Lord, I'm Coming Home." They're on in your hymn books by William Kirkpatrick. And that hymn, "Lord, I'm Coming Home," as you read through it, you find it to be a very beautiful, a very poignant expression of repentance. You find it to be a picture, an expression of restoration. You find it to be an expression of the boundless mercy and grace and goodness of God. Of course, it was written by William J. Kirkpatrick. This hymn, as you read it, ought to, because we've all been in a situation like this, but it ought to resonate with anyone who has experienced the heavy burden of sin and the joy of returning to the arms of a loving and forgiving Father. You read that hymn this morning, the words of this hymn, they reflect the longing of a soul that they've wandered far away from God, but is now turning back in repentance, trusting in his grace to receive him once more. And this morning, I want us to explore the hymn. I want us to explore the themes just a little bit, and then look at it from this scripture here in Luke chapter 15, as it provides for us the foundation for a very powerful message of returning to God. And the first thing we see this morning is just that, and that's the call to return. The call to return. Notice there, you have your hymn book open, number there to "Lord, I'm Coming Home." You notice that first stanza. "I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home." This expression, this powerful expression, it mirrors for us the experience that we find the prodigal son going through here in the parable that Jesus told here in Luke chapter 15. Notice here, if you would, beginning of verse number 11 again. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And so we see here this prodigal son, he takes his inheritance, and instead of being wise with it, instead of doing something positive with it, he takes this inheritance and he squanders it. He begins to live a life of reckless living. And we see that he reaches a point of just utter desperation. That he comes to the realization that he's gone far from his father's house. Notice there, verse number 14 and 15. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And so we see this man, and he's going to come to this realization that he actually had it pretty good in the father's house. He actually had it pretty good back at home. But now he finds himself, he's taken his inheritance, he's wasted it, he's lived this life of recklessness, and now he has nothing left. And now the Bible tells us there arose a famine in the land. And now because of the famine, whatever supply that there was running out. And now because he didn't have anything of his own, he began to be in want. By the way, that teaches us just as a side, just a very good principle is to make sure that we're wise with that which the Lord gives to us. Make sure we're wise with the possessions and the treasures and the material and the money that the Lord gives us. Make sure that we don't go out and waste it all, that when there does come a famine in the land, so to speak, that, you know, we have something set aside for a rainy day. And here this son, he didn't have it. He thought he'd be better off away from the father, that he'd be better off outside of the father's house. Boy, can't we relate to that? How many of us, when we were kids, we couldn't wait to turn 18? Or we couldn't wait to turn 21? That, man, I can't wait to move out of this house. And then all of a sudden you found that being an adult wasn't so easy, was it? That all of a sudden you had bills and obligations and responsibilities and car payments. And then the car would break down, and mortgage payments and everything else that, you know, as a kid and as a young person, you know, maybe you just took a little bit for granted. And well, now it's on you. And all of a sudden you start thinking, man, I really had it good back with my parents. I really had it good back at the father's house. And here the son is finding out just that. He really had it good back at the father's house. By the way, you and I, spiritually speaking, we have it good in the father's house, that is the church house. You know, so oftentimes we think, well, we don't need the church anymore. We don't need God anymore. We don't need the people of God anymore, or the things of God anymore. And so all of a sudden we get ourselves out of church, we get ourselves away from God, and then before you know it, things start happening and we think, well, what happened? Well, because here's a principle we need to understand. When we take ourselves willingly, and you got to remember, that's what the son here in Luke chapter 15 did. He did this willingly. He willingly took himself outside of the umbrella of the father's protection. He was no longer under the father's protection. And after he did that, the father no longer had an obligation to take care of him. And so the father was saying, okay, You want to go out there on your own? Well, that's exactly what you're going to be. You're going to be out there on your own. And here's the principle this morning. When you and I take ourselves outside of the protection of the Father, and we go and try and do things on our own, the Father is under no obligation to continue to take care of us, to continue to make sure we don't, for lack of a better phrase, to make sure we don't fall into stupid and make sure we don't do anything stupid. The Father just kind of stands back and says, okay, you want to go out there and do it on your own? Then you just go ahead and do that. But we're going to see something that even though he does that, he doesn't do something else. And we'll see that in a minute. But notice here, as he comes to the realization that he's gone far from the Father's house, he says there in verse number 18, I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You see, this morning, just as the prodigal son recognizes his need for the Father, you and I must also recognize our need for the Father. You and I must also recognize our need for God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, there needs to come a point where you recognize that you are a lost sinner in need of a Savior, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Recognize our spiritual condition. Isaiah 55 and verse 7, the Bible tells us, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. I'm thankful this morning we serve a God that if we go to him and we ask for forgiveness, he will forgive us. He will pardon us. We need to recognize our spiritual condition. The first step in coming home to the Lord is acknowledging that we have wandered. And listen, this isn't just talking about those who don't know Christ. Even as Christians this morning, we can wander. Even as Christians this morning, we can go our own way. We can lean upon our own thoughts. And that's why Isaiah says we need to let the wicked forsake his way. We need to leave our way behind and go his way. We need to leave our thoughts behind and go after his thoughts. We need to return to the Lord, whether it's as a sinner who needs salvation or if it's just a Christian that we've wandered somewhere along the way. Because listen, we if you've been saved for any length of time, we all fall into this category. We're all prone to it. We all have moments where we stray. We all have moments where we wander. But we need to realize, okay, I'm a little far away from God. It's time for me to get back to God. And listen, busy times like the holidays, those are easy times to wander far away from God. Yesterday I was watching a YouTube video, and it's a YouTube channel I like to watch. And the fellow who runs it, he's a Christian and he's a worship leader in his church. And it's one of these churches, it's more nightclub than church type of thing, but he's a worship leader at his church. And well, he also owns a side business, and he said, "Well, he gets on video and he says, well, I had to make a decision, and he says, I'm not going to stop completely, but I'm going to step back from some of my role as a worship leader at my church so I can focus on my business 100% of the time, full time, and focus more on my business and reduce my role at church." And I'm watching that video, and I'm just thinking, Oh, man, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong idea. That's the wrong principle. If anything, you should be putting more energy into the things of God. You should be putting more energy into the service of God, and then He'll take care of everything else. He'll make everything else fall into place. Brother Bob, my deacon there in Oklahoma, he and I would talk every now and again. And one Sunday night, I had preached a message, and to this day, I forget what the message was even about, but I remember making the statement that at some point in your life, you're going to have to choose what's more important to you, the things of God or the things of this world. And because they can't coexist, you're going to have to make a choice, and one is going to be lessened as a result. And so I was sitting there in the office one Sunday night after church, and Bob comes in and sits down with me, and we're just, you know, talking after service. And he says, you know, I had to do that. And I said, well, do what? And, you know, by that point, I already, you know, forgotten, you know, what, you know, what, or, you know, didn't know what we were talking about. And by the way, just as a side note, I hate people who do that. They come in, Mandy and I, for example, we'll be talking about something, we'll be talking about letter A, and then she'll say something about letter B, and here I am, I'm still on letter A, and I say to her, what does it have to do with that? And she says, oh no, I'm on to this now. And I say, but we were talking about that. Nowhere in that conversation were we talking about this. And she says, oh, it's all connected. It's all connected. Yes. Spaghetti. Yes, we went, when we were in Oklahoma, we went to a marriage retreat with a church in Ada, Oklahoma. And one of the sessions was dealing with how men are different from women. And the speaker basically said that for women, their mind is like spaghetti, that it all interconnects, that it's all over the place. But for men, we have boxes. We have boxes that, okay, we're in this box right now, which means we're not thinking about or in this box right now. So please, if you come into the office and we just talked about something here, don't start talking about something we talked about a week ago, unless you tell me you're talking about it from a week ago, because otherwise I'm not going to remember what you're talking about. I'm just going to look at you like you have four heads. And so Bob comes in, he says, yeah, you know, I had to do that. What you were preaching about tonight, I said, what do you mean? And he says that, you know, there came a time where, you know, I was given opportunities to really go out and do something, but I also knew that, you know, I wanted to spend more time in church and more time with my family. And he said that's what he chose. And to this day, he never regretted it. And to this day, he still is serving God, still serving the Lord. And there comes a time where we need to just decide, okay, what are we going to do? And listen, the answer, listen, when things are going good and God is blessing you, and let's say he gives you a good avenue in your career, or, you know, a blessing financially, or friends or family or whatever the case may be, and he does that, by the way, without you having tried, well, the answer is not to then forsake God and lessen your service to God to then pursue even more on the side that he's already blessed you with. Listen, if he wants those doors to open, he will open those doors. He does not need you to be like a spiritual SWAT team and go and knock those doors down. He just needs you to stand back and say, you know what? Okay, Lord, here I am. I'm serving you. And I'm going to let you open the doors. And when you open the doors, I'm going to go through. And when they open, I'll go through them. But if you don't open them, I'm not going to force them open. And I'll be happy. I'll be content right here where you have me. right now. But the first step in coming home to the Lord is acknowledging that we have wandered, whether it's through sin or pride or self-reliance. And it's only when we are aware of our need that we can then truly return to the place where grace abounds. But then secondly, this morning, we see not only the call to return, but then we see the joy of repentance. We see the joy of repentance. In the second stanza of our hymn, it continues, "I've wasted many precious years, now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears, Lord, I'm coming home." And again, here we see this clear picture of repentance. It's a deep sorrow for the wasted years, for the times we have chosen our own path over God's path. The repentance expressed here is not simply regret, but a true turning of the heart toward God, desiring to leave behind the ways of the world and the ways of sin. Listen, I guarantee you, you will never meet anybody on their deathbed who will tell you they regretted serving God with their life. You'll never do it. It'll never happen. And I wonder this morning, how many years, how much time do we waste running from God, running from the things of God, running from the service of God? In the Bible, repentance is always met with God's loving embrace. Luke 15:20, the Bible tells us this, "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." That right there is the heart of God, to receive the repentant sinner with open arms. The Father's joy is evident, and this reflects the Heavenly Father's joy when a sinner repents. Luke 15:10, the Bible tells us, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." So now remember, I said that when we willingly take ourselves outside of God's protection, well, he's not obligated to necessarily take care of us anymore and to make sure we don't fall into stupid. But I want you to notice something, verse number 20. Luke chapter 15, verse number 20. "And he arose and came to his father," but notice this, "but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." And here's the marvelous picture this morning. While the son left the father, and while the son took himself willingly outside of the protection of the Father, and the Father willingly let him go, and let him, you know, go and do what he wanted to do, the Father never stopped looking. The Father never stopped looking for the Son to return. And to this day, God the Father does not stop looking for a sinner to come home. He does not stop looking for a wayward Christian, a wayward soul to come home. I was sitting down the other day to finish up my year-end report for next year or next week, and just going through the directory and different things like that. And as I was preparing this message, the Lord again, you know, Lord, the Bible tells us his word will not return void. And he confirmed what this passage is already teaching, that the Father is always looking. And that we need to always be ready to welcome folks back. And every year, you know, we have visitors. Every year we have folks who kind of stray and different things like that. For almost every big event, like our Thanksgiving event, our praise, preaching, and pie event, when we have revival services or whatever, I usually do a mailing. I do text messages, visits to folks, visitors who've been here, folks who should be here who aren't here, and you know, and hoping and praying. They know what they'll, you know, they'll come back. And a couple weeks ago, we sent out these invitations, and we had four people we sent those invitations out to actually come back. And then two of those people, they brought seven first-time visitors with them to the candlelight service on Tuesday night. And so you keep going after them. Because the Father gives us that example. He gives us that encouragement that, listen, you never know. You never know what invitation is going to click with somebody. You never know what's going to encourage somebody to come back. And we're going to look at it next week because it's going to be part of our theme. Because the Lord calls us to two things. He calls us to faithfulness and faith. Faithfulness and faith. He gives us things to do in his word that he calls us to be faithful to. And then he expects us to have faith that what he said will happen, will happen. And that is the complete opposite of how we have been conditioned as a society. Because we've been conditioned as a society to walk by sight, to walk by what we can see. But the Bible has conditioned us to walk by faith and not by sight. Because listen, we walk by sight and we don't see results, we get discouraged. But when we realize that God said to have faithfulness and faith, then we realize that his word does not return void. You see, this morning, God, he does not wait for us to clean ourselves up before we can come to him. He doesn't wait for us to turn over a new leaf. He doesn't wait for us, you know, to do anything that, you know, this world tells us we have to do. Well, you got to clean up your act. You got to turn over a new leaf. Because the truth is this morning that we would never clean up our own act. We would never turn over that new leaf because we need God to clean up our act. We need God to help us turn over that new leaf. And his arms are open, ready to embrace us in our brokenness and our need. And so we see this morning the call to return the joy of repentance. And then thirdly this morning, we see the promise of restoration. We see the promise of restoration. The third stanza of the hymn begins with this note of assurance. I've tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. This line here speaks to the transformative power of God's love. It speaks to the transformative power of his word. Listen, there's no other place where the soul can find true rest and satisfaction than in the presence of God. Listen, you might think you can find it in a career. You might think you can find it, you know, people in our world today, they're, you know, they're on drugs. They You know, they're on alcohol. They're on all these things that they think can fill the hole and give them satisfaction. They think if they buy the latest and greatest, and they think if they, you know, and you fill in the blank, they think if they have it, that will bring satisfaction. But all that is temporary. But if you get yourself into the presence of God, there's rest in His presence. There's satisfaction in His presence. And this right here is the promise of restoration, a return to our rightful place in the family. Notice there, Luke chapter 15, verse 18 and 19, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet of great way off, his father saw him and fell on and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. By the way, you see there it says, and the father ran. That was a very unusual thing, by the way, especially in this culture at this time. Old men did not run at this time. It was unheard of. And so for him to run to his son, he wanted so badly to get back to his son. Verse number 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You see, this morning when we return to God, we do not return as servants, but as sons and daughters of God. John 6:37 assures us, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The invitation this morning is open to all who are weary of sin, who are longing for reconciliation for God. For those who are just weary of the things of the world, there is an invitation for you to come home to the Lord this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm thankful this morning that when we come to the Lord, He makes all things new. The brokenness of our past is forgiven. We are restored to our relationship with God, and that is the beauty of the gospel. There is restoration in Christ this morning. But then fourthly and finally this morning, we see the completion of the journey. The completion of the journey. Finally, in the last verse of our hymn, we have this written. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renewed, my hope restored. Lord, I'm coming home. That final verse points us to the ultimate joy of the Christian life. Someday we'll have complete restoration. Someday we'll have eternal fellowship with God. And when we come home to the Lord, we're not only restored in this life, but we're promised an eternal home with Him forever. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4 describes that final homecoming. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That right there is the ultimate fulfillment of our longing to be home with the Lord. It's a return to the place where our souls will find perfect rest in God's presence. The hymn, "Lord, I'm Coming Home," is more than just a beautiful melody. It's a profound declaration of repentance, of renewal, and of restoration. And that no matter how far we have gone, no matter how far we stray, no matter how far we've gotten away from God, there is always a way back to the Father. Our job this morning and going into a new year is to heed the call to return. Just as the prodigal son heeded that call to return. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Folks, this morning there's no time like the present to come back home to God. If you're lost this morning, the invitation stands. Lord, I'm coming home. If you've strayed from him this year, the invitation stands. Lord, I'm coming home. If you're weary this morning, the invitation stands. Lord, I'm coming home. If you're burdened here this morning, the invitation stands. Lord, I'm coming home. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.